Straight from Holy Street. Take the street without no graph of pocket. Take the street. What it do? Yeah. Thank you for taking a ride on the Freedom Train Podcast series. I'm your host, Joseph Ward, and as always, ride with me at my own site, Mr. Patrick Irvin. Yeah. Hey, remember, the Freedom Train is brought to you by PACS Inc. That's PACTSINC. And PACS Inc. is a black development organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. For more information, make sure you visit www.PACTSINC.org. That way you can learn more about the organization, what they all have to offer. You click on the menu tab right there, bam, you can see about the educational tools, the codes, about member donors, get involved, the learning center, the store, all that. Support black people who support black people that support black people that support black people. Ain't that right, Pat?
Word.
There it is. And remember, follow us online at online at www.freedomtrainradio.com. Because we got the illest podcast lineup in the history of podcast lineups. Every Monday, you get the Fix Sports Podcast. Every Tuesday, you get the Block and Nickel Money Party. Every Wednesday, you get yours truly, Freedom Train Podcast Series, plus the live showing of Office Hours, Professor Carlton Jones, Erica Tolbert. Every Thursday, you get Patrick So, Lessons from the Screen. Every Friday, you get the podcast of the Office Hours with Professor Carlton Jones and Erica Tolbert. Every Saturday, you get Tea Time Black Women Talk. And you also get the On the Shows of Giants podcast as well. We got new podcasts that's coming up, so you better strap your boots on because it's going down. Remember, follow us on Instagram at Freedom Train Net. Follow us on Twitter follow us on Instagram at Freedom Train Network. Follow us on Twitter at Freedom Train Net. YouTube, Facebook, Freedom Train Network. iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Freedom Train Network. Shoot. There it is. I thought you knew. Whoop. There you go, Pat.
Back yeah, to you. And if you don't listen, then Joe gonna drop a Pusha T style on you.
Yeah. Hey, don't let me find out that you stole something from the store. I'm gonna talk about your ass. But let me find out that you ain't wash your feet. I'm gonna talk about your ass. And let me find out that you got fake toenails. I'm coming for you. My skin is black. No, it's brown, but it be ashy sometimes. But you know, it's all good.
Ugh.
Hey, man.
Ugh.
All I got to say is, Drake, you got 2 days to respond, or it's officially over.
Ugh. They already talking about it like it's over now. They already talking about it like it's done.
I mean, we don't want to hear nothing else. If it ain't, hey, look here. You got 2 days, because you take it too long, because he messed up, and he responded too quick with that deputy. Now we like, where you at? But anyway.
Well, he didn't respond to the picture, which I think was the wrong thing to respond to.
Yeah, it was. He should have just dropped the track and responded in the track with some disrespectful stuff. But
he should have. You can respond to all the stuff that happened during the beef, after the beef. But while you in the beef, you got it, man. You got to punch back. You can't explain why you got hit with something. Look, man, they don't be in the boxing corner asking the boxer why he got dropped in the middle of the fight.
Nigga, you got dropped. Trying to do something. Hey, my grandma in the booth trying to cook up a track for Drake. She don't respect Drake now. So, hey, Drake, man, you got to get it back. You got to, come on, dog. You got to drop your nuts, Drake. This rap beef, man. Come on now. Don't pull a Nicki Minaj on us.
To another point, why is Charlamagne all over the place acting like he's some sort of authority figure on race relations? I saw him on Bill Maher talking about race relations
stupid
and politics and media and stuff like that.
Hey, man, this is the same country that elected Trump. People, when you and I had a conversation before about how people who are on TV and who are popular and celebrities, once people find out that they have some sense about what's going on, they automatically deem them as leaders and experts on the topic when they're really not. And it's easier, you know, it's easier for a Bill Maher to get a Charlemagne than like a Claude Anderson, and it's more entertaining. So, I mean, and come on, man, we know Bill. We know by now Bill Maher ain't about that real shit. So.
That shit's just crazy to me. But all right, what we got on the show today?
So today we're gonna dig a little deep, but we're still going to have some fun with what we're digging into. So the two topics that we have to talk about is, first, what is a police state? How is a police state developed? What happens within the police state? How do we get out of police state? And are we truly in a police state here in America, talking about black people in America? Are we in a police state? So this is the first topic. And the second topic we're talking about is social engineering, because Patrick and I always talk about social engineering, but we never really got into it and broke it down. So we're going to break down social engineering to you all and how it has been affecting black people for hundreds of years. You know what I'm talking about? So is you ready, Pat?
A little bit.
And you sound like you got gas, man.
Well, doesn't everybody have gas?
All right, man. So a police state.
So wait. Let me start.
Go ahead.
You ready? All right.
Go ahead.
So,
go ahead.
Joe, why don't you tell us, what is a police state to you?
To me, okay, my definition, without getting all into what is really classified as, but my definition of a police state is when the police are running the state. I know I'm just playing, but nah, when the police have enough control, power and control to be able to do whatever they want to the citizens and not be punished for it, they're controlling things. There's a sense of full control over the citizens. If you're a part of this police force, you have a code to follow, a code of conduct to follow, whether it's moral or immoral, whether it's ethical or unethical. And police get to terrorize, in a nutshell, the police get to terrorize the citizens and nothing happened to them. That's what a police state is to me. What about you?
Well, according to Merriam-Webster, a police state is defined as a political unit characterized by repressive governmental control of political, economic, and social life, usually by an arbitrary exercise of power by police, and especially secret police, in place of regular operation of administrative and judicial organs of the government according to publicly known legal procedures.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, surprisingly, in this case, I tend to agree with the Merriam-Webster's definition of it. I believe it is, in my opinion, the ability of a state to, kind of like what you said, to police its citizens in an oppressive manner, to control what's said, when said, to surveil people with or without their knowledge or their permission, and to use all of those to the advantage of the state at the hindrance of the population. We do know that there are domestic secretive police type activities going on. You know, I think at this point we got to accept that. We do know that speaking out against certain forms of government, certain institutional pieces in the government. We're not talking about speaking out against people. Like, you can say whatever you want to say about Donald Trump for the most part.
Right.
But we're talking about speaking out against various institutions in the state. So if you spoke ill or negatively about the president, the presidency as an institutional office, in terms of, like, saying wanting to overthrow it or
right.
wanting to do something like that, you're going to face backlash.
Now, right. Now check this out. Now, this is what Cambridge Dictionary is saying. A police state is a country in which the government uses the police to severely limit people's freedom. And like something I was reading earlier, it's like a totalitarian absolutism, all those things there, all those words come to mind. Basically, the police have the ability to carry out government functions. And like you said, those who are like against the government, it's kind of like when you're watching the movies like Total Recall or something like that. Like if the law of the land is you can't sneeze in public and somebody sneezes in public, like they just get snatched up and stuff like that. So it's like there's no way for citizens to truly be able to exist freely as what they say in America, with the way that if it is that we're in a true police state. So it contradicts the freedoms that they say we have in the Constitution.
So do you think we're in a police state?
I think, well, as black people, yes. As America, there are elements of the police state. But I think black people are in a police state. Because any damn thing can happen to us, and there are no repercussions. And it's like black people are living under a different set of rules than everybody else. And it's like, think about the number of times the police is being called on this. And we all know that when you call the police on somebody, you're trying to get them killed. And so it's I'm sitting in a police event, and black police officers and other police are talking about how they feel when the police get behind them, how they get nervous. So I do think that black people are. What are your thoughts?
I mean, I'd agree. I think we are in a police state. I think all of America is actually in a police state, but there are levels to it. So it affects, you know, different people get different levels of it. And as black Americans, we definitely get a larger share of it than, say, white America or various other types of Americans. It's not to say that we're the only ones getting the brunt of it, because right now, you know, if we're being honest, the Hispanics, again, they fair share too. And so are the Arabs. They're getting their fair share too right now. But definitely, as black people, I mean, when you look at the reports, you know, the FBI report about the black identity extremists basically telling the police, it basically unofficially criminalized being proud or cultural pride in terms of your blackness. So if you want to, and if you're unfamiliar with that, you can check it out. Lessons from the Screen did a whole show on it, and the document is in the Lessons from the Screen, that show tab on the Freedom Trail website, so you can read it there and you can listen to the show. But you look at that, the BIE report, you look at various other things that have come out, you look at the numbers, you look at the way various people have been responded to when they are critical of the government. You know, like everybody likes to say nothing's going to happen, nothing happens, but there are a number of people who things did happen to them because they were overly critical of the state. I mean,
yeah.
So,
well, we know that happened.
Right. And we don't even have to get into all of the examples. There are out there, and there are a lot of them out there. So I think we do live in a police state. I think right now we're just in this age where we are still competing with the American ideal, and people don't want to accept that maybe America does have some flaws. Maybe America does have some things that it needs to work on. Maybe the things that we are fighting other countries for doing, we're doing right here as well. You know, so I think, especially as black people, we don't want to identify those things because we don't want to believe that the things we read about are real. We don't want to believe that the things we see on television are real. But I definitely think at some point in time, we're going to have to come to grips with the fact that we do live in a police state. Political force in this country is absolute.
Yeah.
We are being monitored. We are being surveilled. And that's not even on no scary type conspiracy type boogeyman shit. Like, that's just,
that's just
like
real
we're
stuff.
Being surveilled.
That mean that, come on, man. Like, come on, man. Like, if you out there thinking we ain't being surveyed, you crazy as hell. Now check this out. I'm on the website www.securitythegreenhub.com. And it's like, is the United States a police state? And so its definition of a police state is a totalitarian state controlled by political police force that secretly supervises the citizens' activities. Then it says, so is the U.S. a totalitarian state? And it's saying, you know, it's an inverted totalitarian state. And it's trying to compare it to Nazi Germany. But I think with this, they're coming at the angle from a total stance of the United States rather than how we're coming at it from black people, because we in the police state. Like, it's like whatever. Police can do whatever the fuck. Like, we are monitored, all these things. If you show any semblance of black pride, anything, you're a target. Like, being proud to be black puts you on the terrorist list.
What?
So,
and I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I mean, it's just like one of the things this thing is saying, that corporations control the government, and we do understand that, and that's not an argument whether the corporations control the government, but that don't mean that the police states, they're not out there. Corporations control the government, which control the police. So in a sense, corporations control the police, and anybody who is against the corporations, then the police are against you. You know.
Well, and I'm on that website too, because I just went and looked at it when you said that, securitydegreehub.com. And I think, like, their answer, they broke it down in certain sections. And they're basically trying to say, yes, the U.S. has the capabilities of being a police state, but it's not officially a police state there yet. But I think the more pertinent question with all the information they give, and I think they do ask this question at the bottom of the page, is the U.S. becoming a police state? Because like we said earlier, there are levels to it. So you can't, like, necessarily compare where the U.S. is right now to where, like, a Nazi Germany was at the height of Nazi Germany.
Right, right, yeah. Yeah, it's not blatant like that.
Right, right. But is it on the path to becoming that? Could it become that down the line? Sure. You know, in a lot of ways, our police are more powerful. Our political establishments are more powerful. Our economic sectors are more powerful, even than Nazi Germany's was. Go ahead.
Well, you just made me think about something, because think about it like this. How long did that Nazi Germany reign last? Like we can kind of, we don't have to get into exact years, but around our estimate, how long did that Nazi Germany regime last, like that whole mindset and everything? How long did that last?
It was, I want to say, it was no more than 15 years.
All right, so United States is killing that shit. What's going on? The racism and think about it, Pat. Slaves got to the shores of the United States in the United States in the 1600s, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so from the 1600s to now, because the slave, especially the slave, like, because it was definitely a police state then, citizens on patrol, all those things for black people. So this form of racism is more sophisticated than what they had in Nazi Germany, because, hell, it's still around, and it's able to evolve and grow, and it's learned from its mistakes in Nazi Germany to be able to mask some things so it can still exist. And I just think we need to be able to wrap our minds around that, because if you're expecting, if black people are expecting mass, all-out, blatant racism on a consistent basis, to me, that's not going to happen, because I think white people learned their lesson on how to stay in power and control, because with the world watching, even though I still feel like the world ain't gonna do shit, but with the world watching, the United States do have certain things to hold on to. So it's not gonna be all out blatant like it used to be, because we got all this access to media.
Right. And that's what I was saying, like, there's levels to it. Even with, like, their first comparison, where they say corporations control the government through political contributions and lobbying, and then they turn around and say persistent political apathy allows leaders to do what they want. You know, those two points kind of contradict each other, because you really don't – and I think this is one of those misnomers or misunderstood portions of politics. Really, what is negatively impacting American politics, if we're specifically talking about American politics, is political apathy. People not wanting to do anything, and people voting based on name familiarity, brand familiarity, things like that nature, which allows political people to be able to evaluate how much money they have to spend per vote, because they know how much money they have to spend to get in front of you a certain amount of times before you're familiar with their name and their face, which increases your likelihood of voting for them because you don't know anything else about them. So, but even to that, the political system is a lot more complicated than just corporations giving contributions. And political leaders, they do, at the end of the day, do what they want. Because just like there's a company over here that's offering money for their campaigns to do certain things, there's another company on the other side that's offering money for their campaigns to do certain things. So, and that's not to get into this whole big, long political conversation, although I think we do need to have that at one point, because I do think people take the whole – this whole approach of we can't do anything because the corporations and the political lobbying and the contributions, all of that, in my opinion, is bullshit. That's a bullshit excuse for not being politically engaged. But I do think, like I said earlier, there are levels to it. You know what I'm saying? Like, the United States is not a Nazi Germany, no. But the United States is still, in my opinion, a police state. We are still being surveilled. Without our permission, that surveillance can be used against you. In certain circumstances, the state does have total control. I mean, period. Like, if the state wants to come in and take your land or your house, they can do that. You know, eminent domain is real. So just because they don't do it that often doesn't mean that it's not possible. And then, you know, you move on to, are we becoming that? You know, you look at the way the political landscape is changing nowadays, and people are largely showing, especially in the era of Trump, that they do still have, and this is going back to black people, they do still have those inclinations towards racism. They do still have those inclinations towards extreme prejudice, extreme bigotry. You know, in-group, out-group psychodynamics are still in play and even stronger. And so do we run the risk, because a lot of people don't understand how Nazi Germany became Nazi Germany. Hitler rose through power by gaining the approval and the acceptance and indeed the adoration of the German masses during his ascension.
Kind of like, not like Hitler, but kind of like Trump.
Right. So he was able to fabricate media. He was able to generate substantial and effective propaganda. And he was able to ascend through the good graces of the masses of the German people. And once he was at the top, their belief in him was so absolute and so total that he was able to do some of the things that he did without facing any sort of public backlash or recourse. Now you look at where we are in America, where, you know, Trump has said it himself. You know, he could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and not lose a vote. And we all know that there are a lot of those hardline supporters that love him, just like there are those hardline supporters that hate him. But what's interesting is, are those hardline antagonists, should I say? But what's interesting is the vitriol that's forming between the two groups that are having each one of them actually say that the other group needs to be collectively purged from the nation. Like, that's the part that you want to zero in on. Because if one particular group gets a leader in office that's actually willing to do that, imagine if the next president came on board and was like, you know what, we should kill all Trump supporters. How many people do you think would actually be on board with that? I think a lot more than we would want to give credit for. So
I mean, you're going to, my bad, not to cut you off. You're going to have a lot of people who are on board to kill Trump supporters. But then what you do open up the door for all out crazy white people civil war, because Trump supporters, they come in mass and they are in mass and all that. But,
right.
But even in that, what you got me thinking about is, because even now you got Trump hinting or dropping his supposed jokes about being able to not have his term ever end.
Right.
And it's like I don't take that funny. Then, you know, I keep seeing these videos and hearing these conversations by these rich white people who own these corporations about scaling off the world's populations and scaling and making sure the population drop because they want more population control because it's too many people for them, even though they should just kill themselves. But I mean, to me, it's a lot of examples for black people who are not afraid to address what's really going on. Because there's a lot of black people out here who basically like Trump supporters and just stupid ass people. And to them, racism ain't real and all these other things. And they got all these excuses as to why it ain't real when there's so much overwhelming information to prove them wrong. And so it's getting people to understand truly what a police state is and how it really affects us. Like when natural disasters come in, police state go to its height because you suspend the Constitution and what's the damn word I'm looking for? What they call it? When they suspend the Constitution and the military and the police can just come in and do what they want? What they call that shit?
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I can't think of
it. Slipped my mind. It's right on my tongue too.
Yeah, I can't think of the word right now. But basically, you know, the Constitution is suspended. Police and military have all right to do whatever they want to do to keep control of the population. And like me and you was talking about yesterday, the idea of protect and serve. The idea of protect and serve and the action of protect and serve are two different things. Because the idea of protect and serve is to protect the citizens and serve the citizens who actually pay the salaries of the police officers. But the total carried out action of protecting and serving is to protect property, corporations, and the people who are in control and who are perceived as in control and have the power, and serve the motherfuckers who get out of line. That's how, going back to white women calling police on black people, because they want us to be killed and want us put in our place.
Well, that's like we said, you know, like we said yesterday, if the police are there to preserve and maintain order, who's establishing what order is? We could say the laws, but who's determining what the laws are? Those are essentially
right.
The people that the police Blimey. Are there to protect and serve. So as far as, you know, black people, look, not even just in the United States, period, one out of every 100 people is behind, but one out of every 100 adults is behind bars in America, and one out of every 31 adults are under some form of correctional control in America. Like that is a hallmark of a police state: high levels of incarceration, high levels of investigation, and then when we begin to talk about the ideas that support these things, you know, every time we get so scared that we want the government to do something, you got to understand the cost for government action is individual freedom. And so we've given up a lot of privacy and a lot of freedom for supposed security. And even if that doesn't alarm white people, because they have abundance of it, despair, and it's even starting to clamp down on them, black people, we don't have a lot of privacy or a lot of freedom to give up in place for state-sponsored security. So that's something we really need to be thinking about if we want to secure ourselves. And we saw this back in the mid-90s when Bush or not Bush, I'm sorry, when Bill Clinton was president, and we were begging the state to do something about the crime.
And they did.
And they did. We got the 94 crime bill. And it resulted in families being destroyed and millions of black people being put in jail. You know, and that's and so now we run into this thing now where we're falling back. Do you hear that?
Yeah. Whenever you talk. Talk again.
All right. All right, so now we're running into this thing where, what we were saying, we were begging the government to help us with our crime problems, the violence, back in the 90s. And Bill Clinton and the Congress, not just Bill Clinton, but they gave us the 94 crime bill that incarcerated millions and millions
that
of black people.
That Bernie Sanders was for.
Which Bernie Sanders did vote for, and he gave a lame ass excuse.
Bernie Sanders said he voted for. What was he then? Is that's the one where he sold out black people for the LGBTQ community?
He said there was some provisions in there that provided more funding for domestic violence. So basically, he sold out the entire black community for programs that, and I can't speak to whether or not the domestic violence programs that got that funding actually did anything. What I can speak to is I don't think they did anything in the black community. So
of course not. Domestic violence rates went up after that.
So in any case, it wasn't. To me, it wasn't worth a damn, and I know a lot of people are going to be like, well, yeah, but that's a tough thing, and you know, and if Bernie is your guy, you're going to make that excuse for him. That's fine. I don't have no whatevers. I'm not a Bernie bot.
Man,
I'm not a Bernie
that.
Hater either.
Bernie sold us
Bernie
out.
For what I think he really is.
Bernie sold us out. Hey, fuck that. You can't sell me out and just expect me to just, oh, man, it's okay, brother. It's okay, brother. People get sold out every time. Nah, fuck that. Bernie sold us out. We don't forget Bernie. Fuck you, Bernie.
So, but that 94 crime bill, I mean, you already had the COINTELPRO program, which Carl Tone Jones, if you listen to Office Hours, he talks about that often. So
yeah.
That was already a form of police state coming out of slavery and segregation of black codes and all of that. Those were all police
but
state
But that's real,
tactics.
Though. But that's, that's real, though, because my bad not to cut you off,
no,
because it was able to bring control to the groups that they felt that were a threat to their governmental ideas.
Right. So
and they don't exist no more.
Black always been in a police state. The 94 crime bill amped it up.
Man, ain't nobody scared of the Black Panthers. Ain't no man, though. Look, and no disrespect to the Black Panthers. No disrespect to the Nation of Islam. But white people ain't scared of them like they was back in the 60s. And think about it. If so, Black Panther, like, you've got more Black Panther chapters now probably than ever, and they're just springing up everywhere. If the Black Panthers were really feared by the government, they would be suppressed.
Yep.
So, I mean, that just shows the long-term extent of what a well-organized police state can do. And also goes back to us black people, why we have to be big on being organized whenever we roll out and we do things, because we're dealing with a well-oiled machine that's been in existence over 200 years in this country, but been in existence for hundreds and hundreds of years. So if we think we're just going to overthrow racism because we just really want to, man, we got to have our shit together. And this police state is here to keep stuff down on the front lines.
Well, and that's why I think it's important for us to understand that we are in a police state. And we need to understand the history of that and the severity of it before we make plans. Because if you look at a lot of the repressive things that have been done with us in recent memory to us, a lot of it has been stuff that we asked for. ignorantly, mind you, but we did ask for, even if you go back to, you know, we talked about the crime bill, but if you go back further, the mandatory minimums, the sentencing, the drug sentencing, the strict sentencing requirements and all of that, back in the 60s and 70s during and early 80s, when all of that stuff was really starting to pop off, the black community, several black leaders were actually calling for stricter drug laws.
Yeah.
So we run into this situation where, because we don't understand what we're dealing with, where we live, and the role, the world we're living in fully enough, we beg the government to do things for us, and then they do things for us, what we actually do, and then the shit don't work out.
And well, but because that's, to me, that's an inability to use hindsight and really see the government and policing for what it is, and only trying to satisfy selfish needs. I want to protect my property. So in turn, in protecting my property, I offer my nephew's life, I offer my uncle's life, I offer my dad's life, my big brother's life, I offer the lives of the black men and the black women within my community to the establishment, because I want my personal property protected. That's what we gave up. Let's just be real. So
yeah.
I mean, it's we're saying this and we're being real with it so people can make sure they understand what the hell is going on and what we're really dealing with, so we can really think about how we can get out of this. So real quick, how do we, in your opinion, how do we protect ourselves and be able to thrive or escape a police state?
I think it starts local, as always. One, I think we got to purge this idea of a police state being tanks rolling up and down your streets and cops,
right,
and curfews. And I think we got to purge that idea. And in a lot of places, there is a curfew, so they might not have to work that hard to purge the curfew idea. But I think we got to accept that we're living in an age of digital control, where they can control you through digital means without having to roll a tank down your street. We're in an age,
right,
of control through social norms and cultural behavior acceptability, where,
right,
they can control you by creating a culture or a society where you behaving in a certain way creates a sort of cognitive pressure, a behavioral pressure that'll cause you to change your behavior to fit back in. That's when we start talking about groupthink. Is when we start talking about assimilation terms that,
yeah,
that they use. You know, you don't hear them talk about integration too much, but they throw that assimilation word out there a lot. So I,
right,
think we got to accept the reality of the world we live in, and we got to begin to question those things. Once we get to that point where we're cognitively able to understand what's going on and deal with it on a cognitive level, and then on an emotional level accept it, I think it requires activity, social activity and political activity. That means start getting involved in educating or re-educating the next generation. You don't necessarily have to pull kids out of school to re-educate, but it's preferred. But in either case, you should spend some time with your kids educating them about the world, about the laws, about the way things really work. From there, I think we need to start building community monitoring organizations, you know, where you have groups of people like the Block Blah Block Captains that they have up there in Philly, and like various other organizations I've seen doing it in Chicago and various other places, where you have people that patrol their neighborhoods and they talk to the,
yeah,
they talk to the kids, you know, they talk to the people living in those neighborhoods, and they make their own neighborhoods safe. The third thing I would say, and this is a long list, but I'm going to stop right here at number three, I think we have to get involved politically on a local level. That means getting involved with city government, county government, city commissioners. Get on some of those panels. Get involved. See what's going on locally. Get people in your city that's going to run for some of these local city positions, and begin to take action locally. And then I said I was going to stop there, but I'm going to go to one more. Link up with other people in other locations that are doing the same thing. That way you begin to form a network of people that are doing things across a spectrum and across a geographical region. So now it's not just your locality. Now it's your region. So if you're in Tallahassee, now it's not just Tallahassee. It's Tallahassee and Pensacola. Then it's Tallahassee and Pensacola and Jacksonville. And now you can effectively say the North Florida region. You go up to Thomasville and some of those other places, now you got North Florida, South Georgia region. And then as you start to network and connect and build, you can slowly begin to make changes regionally based off the changes that are being made locally, based off the changes that are being requested by people on a communal level. And with that, I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah, I do think it takes an inside-outside approach. So having the right people on outside, on the inside, and having the pressure coming from the outside. Because like you talked about earlier, who makes the laws? Well, lawmakers and policymakers. Lobbyists and policymakers, those people, they make the laws. They sit down and they write the laws and they get them passed. So we need to have our people in those positions to be able to write those laws and to be able to pass those laws and to be able to vote on those laws. We need to have an economic structure together.
Right.
And we also need to get the damn police out of our neighborhoods who don't live in the neighborhoods. Like, the police shouldn't have to police our neighborhoods. We should be able to police our own neighborhoods.
Right.
And to me, those are powerful tools that we could use to lessen the impact of the overall totalitarian state that we are under, because the United States itself, until it actually falls, and it's going to go down with a fight, but until it actually falls, it's going to do what it do. Now, you also, in your answer, you also kind of helped the segue into the conversation about social engineering, because you were talking about how social and cultural norms will force people to sway their behavior based on the group that they're in and size of the group and the way that the group is behaving. Mm-hmm. And you made me think about a movie called Brave New World that came out in 1980. And I just watched it not too long ago, where they have the alphas, betas, zetas, sigmas, and people basically separate into different classes. And everybody is designed to behave a specific way. And if you don't design a specific way, then something wrong with you. And they mess around and sent this man and this lady to, like, Earth, basically, to deal with, to be down with regular humans. The man thought the lady died, and he left her there. The lady, but he got her pregnant before he left because she didn't take her birth control pills like she was supposed to, whatever. So she had a baby in Earth, in the regular part of Earth, and they went back, and somehow the dude came back some other time, and they found each other, and they just went back, and the whole social order was disrupted by the baby that was born on Earth, because he didn't follow the social norms. He didn't want to be a part of the social and cultural norms and things. But it's just powerful ways. And then also the movies, the 1984 George Orwell blockbuster, and then Logan's Run, are movies that get into social engineering, social control. And because social engineering, social control, to me, it goes... It's something that helps the police state, because you want the people to buy into the theories and the concepts that are being put out, right. And if people aren't buying into it, that's when you get the resistance. And like you said, tanks are not necessarily rolling up and down the street. Like tanks in my city, there are no tanks, but people ain't being crazy. People are in control. Even the most gangsterous dude out here who think they the most gangster of the gangster. Yeah, you might be a criminal, and you might be doing crime stuff in your neighborhood, but what you not going to do is mess with the police and white people. And we're talking about social engineering.
Right. Well, you know, when we start talking about social pressure, societal pressure, a lot of people don't think about... This is where we go back to the term assimilation. And when they're saying, you know, you need to assimilate, what they're basically saying is you need to cave in to the way we do things.
Right.
You need become like us.
Yeah. Be not wrong with you.
Right. And there is pressure to not fit in. Everybody knows what it's like to be the outsider in a group. It's uncomfortable. We're social creatures by nature, by habit, and by everything else. And so we naturally have a desire to want to fit in with the group. And if there are multiple groups, we have a natural desire to want to fit in with the group we deem to be the most powerful, because there's protection in that. There's security in that. So there are a few people out there who are natural outsiders, natural loners, natural fire starters, whatever you want to call them, that don't mind being outsiders and blah, blah, blah. But the vast majority of people, they want to fit. So if by the time you see a tank rolling down your street to keep you in check, that's at that point, that's the government saying, you know what, we failed at everything else. So now we have to use force and displays of force to scare people in line. The United States ain't there yet, because there's a lot of people that still believe in the propaganda that's being put out, the social norms and everything like that. So we have to begin to really understand or think about, why do we do things the way we do things? Like I was talking to you the other day, Joe, and I was telling you about how when I went in the bank, and I was telling them I needed to go ahead and get a North Carolina driver's license, because I keep getting pulled over and the cops keep telling me I need to get a North Carolina license. Now, there's nothing about the cops, but the fact is, the very first thing that this white lady said to me when she heard it was, well, why are you speeding? And that speaks to a social culture. Yeah, social engineering.
It goes both ways. It goes
her
both ways.
That the cops are above reproach. So if they're pulling you over, you must be doing something wrong.
It got to be you. It got to be you, because it can't be the cops.
Right.
And then go ahead and tell them the whole story, though. Because it's gonna help. It's gonna help with what I got to say about social engineering from both sides.
No, I mean, well, you want me to tell them the whole thing, Joe?
Well, you ain't got to. But the part about when you gave the white lady your conclusion of why you get pulled over, and what was her response?
Oh no, I mean, I hinted at the fact that, well, I didn't hint at. I told her, well, maybe it's because I'm black. You know, we're basically paraphrasing at this point to keep it short. I said, you know, well, maybe it's because I'm black. And she was like, no, that can't be it, because my daughter's friend is black, and she never has any problems with the police.
Right. So
I think that's the part you wanted me to hit on, right?
Yeah, because basically social engineering from both sides, all groups of people are socially engineered to operate a specific way. That's why we don't all get the same messages. Like,
no,
when's the last time? When's the last time you seen an Asian family in a McDonald's commercial?
Right.
They're not dealing with the same issues we're dealing with, right? And it's just like, everybody don't get the same messages because everybody don't consume everything. And now, even social media and all these advertising agencies and all these things out here, with these phones and these preferences, they're all designed to get you what you like and keep inundating you the same or similar type programming to keep your mind in that same space. See, Kanye thought he was free thinking by saying that dumb shit. No, Kanye just was not thinking and just talking. He was free talking and not thinking. See, when you are social, and that's another point of social, and he's been socially engineered to think that everything that happens in his specific world reflects the world around him. Same like with that white lady. What happens in her world, in her mind, is reflected in the rest of the world. So it's like people have to understand that that's how social engineering works. Social engineering gets you to thinking that, hey, man, well, I'm a black dude that got white friends, so racism can't happen because I have white friends, and my white friends have never been racist to me. Meanwhile, somebody on the other side of town getting hung. And so that's how the system of white supremacy, one of the reasons why it's able to maintain itself, because of the mindset of the people who are within it and without the system of white supremacy. Like, you got white people to vote against their interest around the country, and now a lot of them know that, damn, I messed up, but damn it, I love that Trump. So social engineering goes all the ways. Like, you create niggas And you create white folk who help maintain that too. You create white folk who are basically white niggas who don't even know it, but you tell them, hey man, you at least you white. And they like, all right, well yeah man, at least I'm white, but they don't know like you fucked up too. But it's just like, to me, that's like how social engineering works. Gets people in this specific mindset, and it keeps you there to help the system of white supremacy maintain.
Right, and see, when we're talking about, I'm going to try my best to simplify this social engineering thing, but it's basically engineered behavior, created behavior. I'm trying to simplify it in as few words as possible. Behavior that's generated or manufactured by some other product other than nature. So in America, a lot of our behaviors have been manufactured by the elite white people who want to maintain a dominant power structure.
Right.
And they do these things by controlling pay, who gets paid,
right.
How much, when, where.
And through the black people who think they're elite.
Right, right. Now, they have their black surrogates that they use as mouthpieces and spokespersons. They also influence behavior and thinking and culture through the education system, how they indoctrinate children. Education is nothing more than indoctrination. We've all been indoctrinated into something.
Right.
So, you know, so when we're talking about social engineering, and social engineering is not always a bad thing. That's why I try to find neutral ways to define it. You know, it's manufactured behavior.
Right.
So it could be a good, like you could use social engineering to engineer a group of people out of a negative state of mind. That is completely possible. So. But I think that's important to define this term social engineering, since we're using it so often, because it does have a negative connotation to it. A lot of people aren't fully up on what we mean when we say it, which causes them to be dismissive of our statements. And there are a lot of black people who don't understand that we as a culture, we were created through social engineering. And I know a lot of people don't want to hear that, but look, we are not a natural creation of evolutionary terms or of environments or anything like that.
That's how the field of psychology come about.
Right. We were created, and not even to that level, because you're 100% right, but to the level of us being black people in America, we are a manufactured people. Our entire existence has been socially engineered to be what it is. When they took all of those people from all of those various places, threw them in together, and then dictated how they would behave from that moment forward, they began the process of creating a new people. And we are those people. We have a history, yes, because we were something before we were what we are now. But our entire existence, our entire identity as black people in America has been socially engineered from conception. So it is important for us all to understand this topic, understand the severity of it, the importance of it, and understand the necessity for us to stop and think about why we do the things we do, why we say the things we say, why do we behave the way
right.
we behave, why do
Social
we
yeah.
right, why Social do we get nervous when we're amongst our own? Even though we know ain't nothing going to happen, we still get nervous, and I've heard countless black people say that. Man, when I'm, especially if they're not from the hood, man, when I'm in the hood, I get nervous. What you get nervous for?
Right, because they've been conditioned to be afraid of their own people, because like, I think about myself when I was young. I was a little scared growing up, more so than I show. I didn't show the stuff that I feared, but let me, like when I was walking home, I would see a group of black dudes walking toward me. I would get nervous as shit because in my mind they was going to do something stupid, even though it never happened. But that goes to the extent of social engineering. I watched a lot of TV growing up. And you see that when you see that group of black dudes, it's like, oh man, something's gonna happen. And then you realize that shit crazy, and when you are in that group of black dudes that get stereotyped like that, you get angry. But then you got to think about it from both sides. It's like everybody's been socially engineered to see this. When you see this image, you see you think danger. And that's the power of social engineering, like what you're talking. But also right. On the other end, social engineering could work to where we live in the middle of the hood. We live in the middle of poverty, but we send in 100% of our children to college. So,
right. And like I said, it's a neutral term, and it's a neutral concept. Like most concepts in psychology, they're neutral. They become whatever they're used for. So if you're using it for nefarious purposes, it becomes a bad thing. If you're using it for beneficial part, like we all try to socially engineer our children into being responsible, productive adults. You know, we all try to indoctrinate our children into beliefs that we believe are going to make them successful. So, but this term of social engineering, I mean, we really could go in on this all day because it's just that big and it's just that deep. But, you know, we've been on now, for an hour, I don't want to go no deeper.
Nah, but I just do feel like, you know, we could be as thorough as possible, but get the point across to people that social engineering is real. Why do you think so many people are addicted to social media, Facebook?
Right. Well, you want to talk about social engineering in the modern age. You're looking directly at social media. You're looking directly at Facebook with its 2 billion users a month. You're looking at Twitter with its couple hundred thousand, Instagram with its couple hundred thousand, Snapchat. You're looking at all of these, even YouTube, which is huge, by the way. YouTube is probably one of the most powerful forms of social engineering we've seen in the modern age because it combines that social aspect that you get from Facebook, the addiction to the likes and the shares and this, that, and the third, along with a means for propagating audio and visual information. Like YouTube is extremely powerful for shifting cultures.
Man, pictures and sound, pictures and sound. You teach or you engineer people, you teach people, you train people, you socialize people through pictures and sound, symbols. That's how you train people, consistent symbols and sounds. And if you put the symbols and sounds together, you get rap music. Now you got something different. But that's how we get to where we are today. And we can either be further socially engineered into degradation, or we can realize what's going on and re-engineer ourselves into liberation. That's how we can do this. Hey, man. It's the Freedom Train podcast series. I'm Joseph Ward. He's Patrick Irvin. We just be dropping these gems on y'all, man. Just up to y'all to collect them and be rich. That's it. I know I was a little cocky, but I don't give a damn. I said it. So what? Hey, man. Make sure I could do some plugging. So make sure y'all go to my website, my On the Shoulders of Giants website, www.ontheshouldersone.com. Check out my On the Shoulders of Giants African History book series volume. On the Shoulders of Giants, Volume 1, North America. On the Shoulders of Giants, Volume 2, Central America. And also go to the Google Play Store, all my Android users, to get my African History Curriculum app, which is free in the Google Play Store right now. Go ahead and get it. Over 600 questions, 200 profiles of people. Go support your homeboy and learn some African history. On the Shoulders of Giants, www.ontheshouldersone.com. Make sure y'all go to PAX Inc., PACTSINC.org, to support PAX Inc., to donate, to become a part of the cause, become a part of the movement, and everything that you got going on. Make sure you all get you a copy of the Independence Day Project created by Professor Carl Tone Jones. You can go to the PAX Inc. website to get it. You can go to my Own the Shows of Giants website to get it. Or you can go to blackindependence.org to get it. That way you can have the Independence Day product. The Independence Day Project in your life, because you need that, because it lays out ideas and blueprints that black people can use to help free ourselves and liberate ourselves from the throes of white supremacy and create our own for us, by us. What other things need to be advertised, Pat, that I ain't, oh, that I ain't think about? I guess you don't know either, huh? Are you on mute? You fighting with that mute button?
Yeah, I was fighting with the mute button.
With, gotcha. Now, what other products and things you that I might have forgot that need to be advertised that we know folk got going on?
You said the Independence Day project.
Yeah. Oh yeah, hey man. Y'all check out y'all Swag Her magazine. Y'all make sure y'all check that out. Swagher.net. Make sure you check out Afia magazine, AfiaMagazine.com. Swag Her is more of a lifestyle magazine for black people. Afia magazine is a black women's wellness magazine. What else? Girls to Divas Mentor. Oh, yeah. June 15th, the Freedom Train Network teamed up with Girls to Divas Mentoring Program, and we're doing an event about fatherhood. So go check out the Freedom Train Network Facebook page. And you will see an event about fatherhood, the celebration of fatherhood, June 15th. We're going to be live. We're either going to use Facebook Live or YouTube. We're getting our details worked out. But either way, we're going to be live. All the details you can find on our Freedom Train Facebook page. And click on the celebration of fatherhood event. So we just came off of celebrating black women. Now we're celebrating fathers with the Girls to Divas Mentoring Program. And that'll be June 15th, the Friday before Father's Day. So shout out to the fathers like Pat, Jamie, and my daddy, and all everybody else daddy that they like. So, you know.
Let me see.
With that being said, of course, you know Pat's going to say power to the people.
Yep, power to the people.
There it is. And I'm going to say, hey, make sure you wash behind your ears and don't go to work in the morning smelling like you just got out of the bed because that's not cool. But other than that, we'll holler at y'all. Peace.